Okay, good morning. We're continuing in the Sefer Bilvavi. We're on page Ayin Hey. We just finished paragraph Tzadi Hey, number 95. And we had a good discussion yesterday about the idea of reflecting on one's marriage and to realize that Hashem is the one who made the marriage. He decided the marriage. Because Chazal say that the Bas Kol calls out and says so-and-so will get married to so-and-so. And then we added a very important point right at the end. We kind of rushed through that, so just repeat it again quickly. That not only is the marriage decided, but everything that comes out of the marriage has been decided by Hashem. Because he ends up with a very logical argument. He says, when it comes to God, there's no such thing as God doing something and not seeing even then what will the result be out of everything that he decided to happen. He decided you're going to marry so-and-so. Well, because of that, so many other things are going to happen because you married this one and you didn't marry that one. And there, because you married this one, you know, all these different things are going to come out. So all of a sudden, a whole slew of events can now be seen in retrospect as all coming out from having married that person. And God was really in control of all those things. And that's what he just to say over that last line again, so it comes out, kol ha-toladot, ha-noladim, mizuv egzeh. So all the results that come out of this marriage, heim ritzoni yisbarach shmo ha-gomer mamish, this is literally the complete will of Hashem. So it begins to be a bit sobering to see how much Hashem really is in control of your life. And that's with marriage. So now you continue. We're continuing this reflection that we're doing. Tzadi Vav, 96. The person continues to reflect. So how about the home that I'm in right now, that I'm sitting in right now? Who established, who decided that I should be living in this home? Is it me who searched a lot for a home and I looked at many homes? And at the end, this specific home found favor in my eyes, and I determined this. It's a question. Or maybe Hashem is the one who decided this. And here's a chazal that you're less aware of. Kamosha Amr chazal, as our rabbis tell us, Baskol Yotzas Umachrazas Dira Ploni Slaploni. A voice from heaven calls out and says, this home will be going to so-and-so. So it's the same chazal, same kind of chazal, that says that God decided that this home is going to go to so-and-so. V'kacha adam choshev u'misponein la'atzma, and the person begins to think and reflect to himself, shebesichlo zeboru v'yedalo, that in his intellectual understanding it's clear and known to him, Shedivre Chazal Emes, that the words of the rabbis are true. Ella, Shereishis, but the first thing is, Besichlohu Eina Choshev Akach Rabos, but number one, he doesn't really think about this idea too often. Ella Zeu Yede Shekayim B'moach HaZikaron, but rather it's information that is retained in his long-term memory. Right, so in other words, let's analyze this. You know, if the rabbis say that God decides what house you live in, you know it's true. So you know it's true, so why don't you feel that way? Well, number one, we don't think about it that often. How often do you quote this chazal? How often do you repeat it? It's a very fundamental philosophical understanding of life. So you don't really say it that much. Okay, you now that you know it, it's way back in the back of your head. But you don't really bring it up in your consciousness very often. And we said, remember, in Sadi Dalit, part of that idea of taking off that covering of the heart, right? You gotta think a lot about something, you gotta talk about it. We don't think a lot about that. If you're not gonna think a lot about it, how is that gonna become part of your reality? It's just a piece of information. Zosvot, and more than that, since in your mind you're not thinking about it a lot, certainly in your heart you're not feeling it very much. What's your heart going to feel? your heart with that covering over it is only going to feel based what it sees and senses as reality. And you see and sense on a superficial level that your reality is that you decided that that home is going to be yours. So that's why you're getting this mistaken understanding. So now what happens as you're reflecting about all this? You're thinking about all this. You're saying, why am I feeling one way, but I know it's the other way? Vazai, so at this point, the person clarifies precisely where he's at. Meaning to say, in his intellect, he knows that Hashem decided on a shidduch. And who decide where he's going to live? You know that that's true. But there's two faults with this understanding. You don't think about it except very little. And in his heart he doesn't feel it. So now you got a problem. There's a big gap between what you feel and what you know. So then at that point, now that you've done this reflection, he decides for himself, I gotta start thinking more about this. And I have to think about other details that are similar to this concept. I have to spend more time thinking about this. VMK. So we gotta get going on each one. Reish is in the beginning, you have to repair the first flaw. How are we gonna do that? Bekach in such a way, shalapachos b'machshavto hadvorim yiyu chayim b'tmidius. That at least in his thoughts, these ideas should be alive constantly. He should keep thinking about who got my wife, who determined my wife. What about all the ramifications? Who bought the house? Who really decided on the house? V'yidekein, and therefore, thereby, la'at la'at, slowly. Adei shi'as midlach shavakach rabbis. We're going to think a lot about this. Next page, Ranayin Vav. When you think about it with a clear, pure thoughts, and it's quiet, it's not being disturbed. Slowly, these words will be absorbed into his soul. And the heart will begin to feel these words properly. That's step one. But now we got to go to step two. This and more than that. Beyond the thinking, Yidaber came to Piv Mamish. You got to speak it out. You got to verbalize this. As Kol Machshav, everything you're thinking about. You got to review and speak out many times these words of belief. Shirak Hakadosh Baruch Hu Koveya Kol Prat, that only Hashem decides all these things. V'yachzer LaPratim, you go over the details. Prat Acher Prat, detail after detail. V'savlonus Meruba, with great patience. Ki'adavar po harbe ma'od al nefesh adam, because this activity does a lot to change to the soul of a person. It does a lot. You know, if you really think about it, you know, this is really what the Pesach Seder is. That's what the Pesach Seder is. It's where you're spending the night to talk about it. Talk about the details of who determined everything. That's what the Pesach Seder is. You're asking the questions, you're saying the answers, you're speaking it out, and you're going through every single point, the 15 Dayenus, every little thing. God is the one who took us out of Egypt. God is the one who decided, and therefore every detail comes out, and therefore all the ramifications. What does it mean that he took us out of Egypt? What's come out of all that? You begin to see that God has taken, you know, on a national level and on a personal level, how God has done all these things, and that's exactly what you're doing on the Seder night. You're doing it really to a great extent, spending hours and hours on that. But that's exactly, so the Seder night, that's the mitzvah, it's the mitzvah of Amuna, and you're spending the whole time on it. Okay, we're not expecting you to do that every day to be a Seder night. But you have to have a mini Seder every day that you're talking for a few minutes, you know, according to Lutzado, an hour, going over and over and over these ideas. You know, Pesach's a great night. You feel pretty good after the Seder. Problem is, we stop doing exactly that. Exactly that, what you do in the Seder, you know, we have to keep doing it. See, a lot of people, when you look at the Seder, we think, okay, we read. It's like we daven. It's like the Seder's like davening. Right? You daven it up. You read turn the pages, sing a couple songs. You know, you figure it's a long marv. You know, it's a very, very long marv. Let's get through it. We're missing the whole idea. Like, this is you. This is the story of your life. It's your great-great-grandparents. It's mamish, your great-grandparents. And you're speaking. The whole point is thinking about it, and thinking about it, and thinking about it, and talking about it, and talking about it, and talking about it. That's why, you know, you prepare this for the Seder. You're supposed to look over the Haggadah, you know, to understand, okay, what's the game plan? What's going to be my... How am I going to present it this year? So it's a lot of thinking going on. And then you actually verbalize it. Then you're asking questions to the kids, and they're answering the questions. And you should really, you know, do it the same way like you're going through Sefer Bereishis. You know, Hashem took us out. Who took us out? Was it Hashem? Was it a Malach? When you come to that paragraph, Ani v'lo Malach, Ani v'lo Saraf. Right? Me and not an angel. Me and not a... So you say, was it a Malach who took us out of Egypt? Kindalach? No. Was it an angel who took us out? No. Was it this? Was it that? Was it what? Was it Paras Kindness? What? Who was it? It was the Rabbi Nishalom took us out. You know, and you keep going over those ideas, it's gonna get in. That's just gonna get... It's when Hashem gives us a special help that on that day, that work of verbalizing will get into the neshama even better than any other day of the year. So that's clear. Now in the brackets, it's a very long bracket, but it's a worthwhile bracket to do. He discusses the two different ways to verbalize. Yesh b'kach be'zei fadim. There's two ways to verbalize this idea. Number one, oh, she'yadaber b'loshen HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You either use an expression, you keep referring to God as HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Blessed One be He, Master of the Universe, God, the Almighty, whatever you want to say. But that's how, when you speak it out, that's what you're saying. So you're verbalizing, Hashem is the one who decides everything, and He decided who I was going to get married to. Klomer, what do you mean to say? Lashon Nistar. An indirect expression, third person description. You're referring to God in the third person. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hashem. In other words, what you're doing here is you're speaking about Hashem. You're saying, so who decided? I decided who I was getting married to? No, it was Hashem who decided. That's a third person discussion. You're talking about Hashem. That's one method. Oh, she'yadaber b'lashon nochach, or you speak direct, second person, directly. You're saying, who set up my shidduch? Ato yisbarach shemo kavata sivukui. You, O blessed one, set up my shidduch. Ves makom maguri. And you're the one who set up where I am going to live. Klomer, meaning to say, b'lashon nochach, in a direct expression. You're not speaking about God, you're speaking to God. Now, which one do you think is better? First or second? Second? Malazu shall diber b'loshen nochach. This second expression of direct, he mala niskava. It's a very high level. Because why? Kizu tachlis ha'adam lichios bebechinas noichach ima boris brach shemo. Because the goal of a person is to live on a level where he is directly opposite God, with a direct relationship with Hashem. You know, it's not just, you know, he's somewhere. God is somewhere. God is right here in my life. Right, as he said earlier, God's the closest relative, and a relative can be close, you know, can be close in different ways. How close Hashem really is. But if you're starting this when you feel very foolish, speaking out and talking straight to God about your marriage and your family and all these things, it's okay. So you can start off with an indirect expression. No. He's talking to God. It's to yourself. It's to yourself. You're sitting down. Remember, what's the procedure here? You're sitting down in your house, 9 o'clock at night, it's quiet in your house, and you start meditating and talking about your marriage. And you're talking, just like I'm talking now. And you say, okay, tonight I'm going to talk about my marriage. Okay, who decided that I was going to marry my wife. And he says, was it me? Was it me that I decided this, this, that, and that? Or say, no. Or what does Chazal say? The rabbi say, 40 days, you know, at the day of conception, a baskel decides. It's Hashem decides it's going to be. So really, it's HaKadosh Baruch Hu who decides this. And HaKadosh Baruch, and you keep talking about God in the third person to yourself. Now later on in Kuf, he's going to discuss it if we discuss it with other people. But right now, that's what he's saying. But that's what he's saying right now. Or level two is you say the same thing, but you say it's you, Hashem, who did this. It is you, Hashem, and you're sensing, you know, it's you, Hashem. You're the one who made my shidduch. You're the one who did this and all these things. So he's saying it when you're starting. You might want to refer to Hashem as Hashem, the third person, and then as you move ahead and get a little more comfortable with this, you say it's you. It's you, HaKadosh Baruch, who did this. Well, you'd have to be a prophet to do that, because then he would be talking to you. You'd have to have him talk to you. And that's, yeah, that'd be a wondrous day when he does that. But, right now it's these two levels. Okay, Tzadi Ches, moving right along. We're catching up on some ground. So now, Kach Yedaber Adam Asadvorim Bitsura Mifuretas Ma'od Mod. And this is how a person should speak in a very detailed way. As called Yeda Machshavto, everything that he's thinking about. We're on 98 in the sheets. Vayomer es kolat stodim hasosim chas v'shol mispasha samuna. You should always start by speaking out all the sides of the coin that would, God forbid, contradict the simplicity of faith. Shechas v'shol nira shaniko v'amizufugi. You say, for example, God forbid, it would appear that I'm the one who decided who I was going to marry. And it's I am the one who decided where I'm going to live. And that's how you start off. You start with the wrong idea. You speak it out. And then you negate each point. And you say to Hashem, even though in my heart I feel that I am the one who set this up and decided it, I know that it is not true. Elo emes he, but the truth is, that it's only you, Hashem, who established that this is my marriage partner, and this is where I will live. In which you start off, you speak out the heretical. You start to say, you know, maybe it was me. Let me think about it. I mean, after all, didn't I decide where to take her out on the date? And didn't I drive in the car and drive her around? Didn't I buy her the flowers? And didn't I buy her the chocolates? And didn't I buy the ring? And didn't I woo her with my suave and debonair, approach? And speak out all those things. Because the truth is, somewhere inside you really think that way. And you say, no, that's ridiculous. That's ridiculous to say that I was able to do that. You know, and then you get into the other side of the coin. You say, after all, it was somebody else who introduced me to her. I would never even known about her. And then you start talking the other way and say, no, it really is Hashem. But it's important. You got to speak out that other side of the coin and negate that other side of the coin, because as long as that if it's there a little bit, you really, you know, that's going to be that cover that won't let the emes get in. And that's what, you know, and this question and answer format, you really go through this for a while, and even though you're going to say, well, okay, I've done it, do it again. So I did it, you know, I spent 20 minutes going through this, fine, now do it again. You don't have to do it every day, because you're going to see in a minute there's lots of things you can do every day. Different ones for a while. It doesn't have to be the same thing every day. Every day I'm going to talk about my marriage. I'm going to get sick of saying the same thing every day. Don't worry, we've got a lot of enough things. There's enough things to talk about. And as you'll see, there's a lot of things you can talk about every day. You know, I could say to myself, you know, who decided that I should speak bless the mayor this week? Was it me? Was it me who decided? After all, I'm a very popular person in the community, and after all, and I can let my Yetzer say everything it wants to say now. You know, everything, every wrong thing. You know, let the whole gaiva come out. You know, let the whole gaiva come out. And say, you know, yeah, I'm the most fantastic rabbi in the whole world. I'm the best speaker in the whole world. I'm the best this. I'm the best most. You know, and say all these things, and then say, okay, now let's be honest over here. And he starts saying, it happened to be that one campaign worker happened to be at the Niagara Falls Hotel that I happened to speak at. You know, and how did I get, and then he starts saying, really, because for all kinds of political reasons, they didn't want Rabbi so-and-so, or Rabbi so-and-so was too busy, blah, blah. And you know what, there probably wasn't anybody else. You know, let's be honest. You know, it wasn't anybody else. But, and God, you wanted me to be there, because you know, the last place in the world I would want to be on a Monday night is with 500 goyim. You know, it's the last place in the world I really want to be at. So then why did I do it? Okay, I did. So why did you say yes? Well, I want to help my shul, this and that. Okay, so maybe Hashem wants to help the shul. So you speak it out, and things happen all the time. You appear to be making a lot of decisions all the time when they're not Yerushamayim decisions. Remember, when they're not Yerushamayim, fear of God decisions you can take credit for. And there'll be a time to talk about those as well. Right, but right now we're just focusing, and then you talked about the Niagara Falls thing. Then I said, you know what? Let me do a whole discussion about Niagara Falls. How did I get? You know, was it because of me? I decided. No, it was God that decided I should go, and this and that. And you'll see that things will start spinning and evolving into all places. And you just talk about that all the time. So you can wait another 2 weeks till you come back to your wife, and talk about your marriage and who did that. I mean, if you're in touch of, and start writing down the topics, you know, start thinking, what were important events in my life? Start going it over and listing them. And then, you know, every couple of weeks, you come back to that topic. So it doesn't get that boring and you refresh your memory. But it doesn't really matter what the topic is. You're going through the same exercise. And that exercise is always showing that Hashem is the one who's really in control of everything that's going on in my life. And the more you do that, you know, the more we're cultivating this next step. Now remember, this is after all the other steps where you say, who's the creator? Hashem is the creator of the world. You've been doing that for a number of months. And that I'm a creation. You're doing that for a number of months. And now you're into this one, which becomes the next one for a number of months. It becomes the next steps along the way. And you'll see in a minute, it's going to get to the most mundane things. You can do this on the simplest of things. It doesn't have to be such, you can say, well, that's good for you, Rabbi, but no one asked me to speak to the mayor and I didn't go in. And some of us feel we don't do a lot of important things. So don't worry. He's mentioned, it doesn't have to be big things. It can be the littlest things, too. You do the same activity with the littlest of things. Yeah, Shelley? Whoever would like to ask, please. We're wasting precious seconds.
So are you, at this level, are you putting a value on these things that Hashem is involved in? In other words, you're saying, you have to speak at the mayor's thing, that's good, or just did it happen?
He had me speak, and there must be a reason for it, and maybe one day I'll find out what it is. The fact that it was a Kiddush Hashem. Hashem gave me the opportunity to make a Kiddush Hashem. For a Jew to get up and to say, Master of the Universe, about 10 times, and God who gives power to kings and dominion to rulers, and the ability for people to lead. And I said that in front of a bunch of people who, no matter what, you know, they know I'm talking about the Jewish God. And I was able to talk about the Jewish God for a whole minute, and they all were able to hear this for a minute, and what Judaism feels about this. You know, that was a Kiddush Hashem. It's dressed up with my hat and my tzitzis and everything, and they saw that, and a Jew gets honored, you know, I was God's representative, so it was a great opportunity that Hashem gave me, you know. And you got to realize that now people will know who this Jew is, and et cetera, et cetera. So you're very cognizant of God in your life. The point is, we're trying to, you know, how much value, the value that He's involved in your life. That's the whole point we're trying to get over here, is to feel Hashem in your life. And the more you can feel that Hashem is the one who put you there, the closer you're going to feel to God. So I don't know if the word value, or maybe that's not the word you meant.
Well, like, for example, I'm thinking of negative things. You're in a bad car. Like, you're not doing a lot of Gamzu Latova stuff. Right? So you're just
Yeah, you don't have to do a lot of gamzula talk. This doesn't have to happen. You're right. A person, God forbid, gets in a car accident. You'd say the same thing. You know, Hashem, you're the one who got me in that accident. Right? And there'll be a time for that. You know, again, we gotta start with the harmless things right now. But you gotta see, if you do this for all these nice things and innocuous things and, you know, average things, you know, once God's doing all that, you know, you're ready now that when, God forbid, something bad is happening in your life, you're very ready to say, I understand, Hashem, you're doing this. And just like when you brought me my wife and all the things that came out of that. So now you're bringing me to a difficult time in my life, and I know you're bringing this for me, and I'm not the one who decides. Not my bad decision. You know, if I would have decided this, then I wouldn't have lost all the money in the business. You know, Hashem, you brought that bad broker to convince me, and all. You know, you could have sent me somebody else. You could have sent me the guy giving me the better. You go through the whole same thing, and then when you're living with the difficulties, you're not angry with Hashem. You see, you can obviously see where this is building up towards, where you're going to be able to handle all kinds of situations, because you're always living with Hashem. The point is back, always thinking of Hashem all day long, right? So that and how powerfully involved He is in your life, and how much He is doing for you. That's what's coming out of it. So I don't know if value per se fits into this. Yeah, Shelley.
So, I'm just thinking, we learned a while ago, I think back on the issues with Bruce and Matt, where it didn't rain until man was around, and then there was someone to cultivate the earth and then grow crops. And we said that was man's partnership with the Almighty, and it was a partnership. And I'm thinking, this is the same thing, in that God orchestrates a situation, creates the opportunity, but you're part of the partnership, and it goes beyond fear of Shemayim decisions. It's your part of the partnership is to make the decision. So, for example, in the rabbi said, when the opportunity came up to speak at the inauguration for the mayor, spoke to Gail and got her opinion. So the rabbi could have said no, and then could have said, okay, that's what God wanted. God made the decision. Or the rabbi said yes, and it was God's decision. And I think we're all more than what I would say puppets. There's a point where we're part of the whole thing.
Okay, you're right. You're absolutely right. The point is, our part of the partnership is the Yare Shemayim decisions.
No, I think it extends beyond that. It wasn't fear of heaven to say,
no, it was a decision. It was decisions. What is God's will here? Should I speak or should I not speak? You know? And God set up the situation. Sometimes He'll set up situations that I should refuse. And He was creating the situation for me to make a Yirah Shemayim decision to refuse.
Then,
just like you want to do an Avodah. This was a mitzvah. What I did was a mitzvah. I could have chosen to refuse to do the mitzvah.
That's what I mean.
First I had to
decide. You could have chosen either way. You could have chosen.
Because this was a Yirah Shemayim.
But Hashem.
So forget
but who set up the opportunity? If,
God, absolutely, that's what I said.
I could never have done this in a million years if I tried my hardest to make that happen.
You're missing the point.
I'm not missing the point.
God set up the opportunity, and the rabbi chose to do it. I chose not to do it.
So that was a Yirah Shemayim decision, and those are my decisions. Yirah Shemayim decisions are my decisions. But so, and that's that partnership. Autumn sees the world, and there's no grass, so he has a decision. Either he's going to pray to God or not pray to God. He could have done something else. He could have decided, I'm going to create rain, and I'm going to work a whole lifetime making rain, or I could decide to ask Hashem for rain. That was a Yirah Shemayim decision. Right? So God will make, you know, I made certain Yirah Shemayim decisions. I wanted, you know, this is the kind of life I want to lead. I wanted to be a rabbi. Okay, so I made a Yirah Shemayim decision where now God can set the wheels in motion for me to speak there or not. And he says, here's the opportunity. I've created the opportunity for you. You could not have created this opportunity. You only have one thing that you can do. Either say yes or no. That's it.
But
the Yirah Shemayim decision. I wasn't the one who decided to create the environment that I could get the opportunity to speak. There's nothing I could, and that was the most important thing, because if God doesn't set up everything that leads up to it, then I have nothing to say. I have nothing to do. Yes, I at the end, eventually, under the chuppah, said, Hareyat Mekudeshesli. You know, but how was I able to even get to the chuppah with this girl? Hashem did all the work. He brought me there. Now you just do your little thing. Do it. That's all. You're right. I have very, very little say. But that little say, that's the Nekudah HaBechira. That's the point of choice. That little point of choice. But everything that got orchestrated to bring me all to that point, to that little point of choice, the 99.9% that was necessary to bring me to that point, that was all God. Now, what do? I make that one little point. That's all I did. And that's my partnership. And that's all the credit I can take, and not more.
See, the problem I have is I think that what it looks like is, except for zero shaman decisions, puppets.
Right. Right, exactly. Besides your Shemaim decisions,
we're gave us the intelligence just to be a puppet.
No. He gave us the intelligence to make the right Yerushalayim choice, which is the most important choice in the world.
But even beyond those types of decisions, I think what we end up having is no responsibility or accountability for our decisions.
We have every responsibility and accountability for the Yerushalayim decisions. You're minimizing Yerushalayim decisions.
No, because I think the rabbi's making every decision into one by manipulating the decision into a Yerushalayim category. If you decide to go to Moore's or another store that's comparably priced, you decide it.
First of all, it wasn't a decision that's of any importance, and God can put that into my mood, and that doesn't define who and what I am. Yeah, I decide to make a right turn or left turn. That's non-consequential. It's not important. It's not important. And God puts it in your mind what to do that. If it's just for that reason. But if I said, you know, I decided that if I go into the mall, it's not a sneezistic place. And it's not good for my Yerushalayim to go shopping in a mall because half the people are naked. But if I go into Moore's, the people have clothes on all the time. Right? That's a Yerushalayim decision. So we have to be really clear in understanding what are you... Now, once you make a certain Yerushalayim decision, then there can be a lot of mundane decisions that are an outgrowth of that. That Hashem is still controlling, but you're getting credit for it. Because it's an outgrowth of Yerushalayim decision. What are you struggling with here, that our life is not purposeful, or like what is exactly bothering you here?
What's bothering me is that I believe we make some decisions.
I'm sorry?
We make certain decisions in our lives and we should be accountable and
So right, example. Right. What have we presented here has disagreed with that?
Everything. We don't have any say in the matter.
We have every say in the matter. I'm the one. I'll tell you what I'm responsible in my life. I'm the one who decided I wanted to lead a rabbinical career or not. That was my decision. That's my decision, and boy did a lot ride with that, and a whole lot of other decisions. You know, me and my wife decided that we want to have as many children as we can. That part, now the fact that we had them, that was up to Hashem as well. Right? But that is my decision. We decided, we thought and said, we would like to have as many children as we could have. That is our decision. Okay? But at the end of the day, but who really made everything leading up to that happen? You know, if you don't have the first kid, then you can't have any more kids. And you realize without Hashem, I'd have zero kids. And realize exactly, because of Hashem, I have any kids. So he gets the credit for the kids. I get the credit for what? For making a decision that we'd like to have as many as you give us. That was an important decision. When you decide which school to send your children to, that's an important decision. Right? There are very important decisions that we make. If you decide in your heart, I want to stop working on Erev Shabbos, and you decide that, then you're waiting for God to make it happen. Those are real decisions that you make in your life. But, you know, if I'm going to buy chocolate or vanilla, that's no decision. And if I decide this furniture or that furniture, that's no decision. I could decide I'm only going to spend X amount because Hashem doesn't want me spending more on that, then that's my decision. But you're going to get the brown couch or the green couch or the love seat or the this. It's Narishkeit. It's just whatever, you know, whatever, you know. You know, if it happens to be in stock. It's just, what if they didn't share? You went to the leather store. What if they didn't? What if this year, a year ago, they decided to make a whole different style of couches?
Maybe I'm confused, but I just hear a contradiction. That's clearly, which color couch you get is not Yerushalayim. But you said we only make the Yerushalayim decision.
We make the Yerushalayim decision. Hashem causes us to make what appears to be this other decisions. Red, green, blue. That's just what finds chen in my eyes, and Hashem is manipulating that kind of chen. Hashem is manipulating my thoughts when it comes to what couch I buy, all these other things. He doesn't manipulate my thoughts as to what kind of mitzvahs I want to do. In other words, God is manipulating your mind in certain areas, in a very subtle way. In a subtle way, somewhere, you know, like, okay, why did you pick that suit, Shelley? Why did you pick it? You don't know. But you hear what the first expression was? I don't know. I like it. Okay, how many years did you study contemplating and thinking about the worth of that versus the one that Rafal has? You know, what made you like it? What made you like it? Hashem put in your mind, in your senses, an affinity to, what is that? I don't even know how to describe it. Blue, but it's not a straight blue. It's a face. You know, it's got lines or whatever in it. I don't know what it. You know what I'm saying? You know, because that's the way you were inclined. You were inclined. So God inclined that. But if you decide to cheat in your business, okay. Now God can set up all the temptations, but now you have to decide: am I going to cheat from the boss or not? That is all your decision. God doesn't put it. God will put in a little Yetzirah thought. He'll give you a Yetzirah. He'll give you the two sides of the coin.
What purpose would he give me a Yetzirah?
To test you, to make decisions. In other words, God's gonna. You're gonna be looking at your business, and God's gonna craft the following situation. He's gonna, let's say, over a course of months, make the boss real mean to you, and the boss is really mean to you. And you know, and the boss made you do things that really weren't nice, and you're getting upset with the boss. On the other hand, God is giving you a little bit more power, discretionary power in certain areas, where you can do a lot of things that the boss doesn't know what's going on. And now God can put into your mind, you know what? They don't pay you enough in this place. And you know what? I can easily embezzle $10,000 and no one will catch me. And God puts that thought in your mind. He also puts a thought in your mind, yeah, but you've been learning Torah, and as a Jew, that's the worst thing you can do, and it's not the Ratzon Hashem. And now you got two ideas, and God's presented all of that for you. Now I say, okay, Shelley, what have you decided now? That is your decision now. And that's clearly your Shemayim. But what suit you're going to buy, that, you know, the Yetzer Hara and the Yetzer Tov don't care. Once you're in Moors, now you decided that you want to go to Moors because it's the place that's where God wants you to go. That was the Yerushalayim decision. Now, to an extent, in other words, the Yerushalayim was, I want to go to a Moors type of place. You could have gone to Moors, you could have gone to Okay, but that's fine.
These are way too expensive.
All right, so fine. So part of that will be Yerushalayim, and part of it won't be. So the part of it is Yerushalayim says, you know, as a Jew, God doesn't want me spending $1,000 on a suit. He only wants me to spend $250, whatever. Right? Fine. That's Yerushalayim decision. Now, which suit I buy? That's God. God decided that. He just puts a feeling in my mind, you know, that Moore's got this shipment and Harrow's got that shipment. And you know what? That blue checkered one is the one that your body resonates with. And you pick that one. God has you pick that one. That's all. So in other words, don't spend that much. What are we trying to say? You're right, Shelley. So now we have to start analyzing our decisions. Now this obviously comes out of this. Analyze the decisions you have to make in life. And think, how much time should I be spending on certain decisions? For example, you have to decide, which school to send your children to. That's a Yerushalayim decision. So now that's the kind of thing you got to really think about, and you got to ponder it. You're going to ask advice from people who are credible in giving you advice. You're going to ask your rabbi, because you know this is a really big decision. This is a Yerushalayim decision, and I don't want to blow this one. And you're going to spend time and do everything you need to know what's the best place that my child can grow up as a God-fearing individual. You got to do research. Let's say you're new in town. You just don't, I'll buy, you know, no, we got to check out. We're going to call up the Beis Din in Toronto and say, what do you think is the best? I don't have a rabbi. You know, you're going to really spend the right time and effort in determining this. All right? But don't call me when you go to Moore Shelley. Say, Rabbi, which suit should I buy? You know, I'll tell you what, as long as it's a conservative color, you know, and it doesn't stick out, you could buy any one you like. You know, so, like, don't waste the rabbi's time with things that are not Yerushalayim questions. When it's a Yerushalayim question, then that's what you should be calling the rabbi for, if you're not sure. Now, it doesn't mean to say you always have to call the rabbi, because, you know, once you've learned enough, like, now you know, you don't have to call me, well, what kind of a suit should I buy? You know, you already have that wealth and chunk, so you don't have to ask every single little thing, because you already know what the rabbi would tell you those things. Right? So that's what's critical, so you know which one are all those decisions. But what's important, and therefore, you know, to know what you get credit for, what you should take pride in, and what you shouldn't. You know, you say, you know, I made a hard decision. I fought with my Yetzer. I decided not to cheat for my boss. And you can say, you know what? That was, I'm really proud of that decision I made. On the other hand, the fact that you're a millionaire, nothing to, you know, what does the prophet say? Al yisalel adam b'chachmaso, right? Don't praise yourself over the wisdom you have, not over the wealth that you have. Don't praise yourself over that. Praise yourself over how God-fearing you are. Then that's something to praise yourself for.
I'm not asking because of praise. I'm asking because of...
And therefore, so culpability?
Responsibility.
So your response... Here's the point. Your responsibility is to the extent that you're making the correct Yerushalayim decisions. And that's good you're asking this, because now it forces you and me and everybody here to really focus which decisions am I responsible for, which ones am I not. And therefore, which one should I really be focusing on? And which one should I be consulting with Da'as Torah? And which one need I not bother? Right? So when there's a simcha being made, for example, you're making a simcha. So now, what aspects of the simcha are a Yerushalayim decision? And which ones are not Yerushalayim decisions? The ones that aren't, don't spend a lot of time on them, because that's a waste of your time. Because you're not going to get credit in heaven for either way. Right? But the things that are important, that's where you spend a lot of time. See, if people would realize that most of the events surrounding a simcha are not Yerushalayim decisions, guess what? They won't waste a whole year on them. You get it? And realize this is just a puppet. You know, we made the important decision. We decided to make the wedding according to halacha. Are we going to have mixed dancing or not? We got to talk about that. That's God. That's a God decision. We decide it's going to be no mixed dancing at this wedding. Okay, now according to halacha, what does that mean? What kind of mechitza that requires? It requires a mechitza. Nobody sees the women dancing at all anyway. That's what the halacha. Do I agree? Am I going to follow God's will or not? Those are important decisions. Are we going to, you know, do it a $300 a plate affair? Or is it going to be, you know, very modest according to what halacha would say? We're going to go according to halacha for that. All right? Now, you've made the big Yerushalayim decisions. Now you say, okay, based on that, you know, we're going to go with the cheapest caterer, right? Okay, guess what? It's only two to pick from. We'll go. And then at that point, just make a quick decision. What you're going to serve, is it going to be the chicken that's roasted or this? Narishkeit. Just, you know, whatever you feel like, boom. Hashem, you take care of that one. Going to waste my time. I'm going to spend weeks and weeks on the menu. Narishkeit. What's your problem? It's just food. That's not a Yerushalayim decision. You already decided. We're not going to go crazy. It's going to be a simple first course, second course dessert. What's the cheapest one you got? Finish. Because I know the food isn't the main thing of this wedding. You know? The main thing is what? Simchas Chasam V'Kala. I'm going to learn what's the halachas of marriage. What is the main thing of a marriage? Is dancing with the Chasam and Kala. That is the mitzvah. So I'm going to make sure I go to the gym and I work out and I'm healthy enough to dance for half an hour. Not an overweight, not in shape person that after 3 minutes, they're going to get a heart attack, can't dance. That's a Yerushalayim decision. So spend your time on Yerushalayim decisions instead of wasting the whole life on things that aren't Yerushalayim decisions. At the end of the day, God says, what did you decide in your life? Ooh, I decided. We spent a whole year deciding what the flower should look like. We spent a whole year deciding that. So you wasted your life for a whole year. I made all those decisions, you idiot. Why didn't you decide to have a mechitza? That's what I wanted you to spend time thinking. Then you see what's going to happen when you do this is you're going to be not wasting your time, but spending your time wisely. And you can manipulate this system to spend more time on Yerushalayim decisions and less time on Narishkeit decisions that God already decided a long time ago. Okay, what to think about.